Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's got to get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
'Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Then we are going to go over to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. I will be quoting most of the verses in here. Write it on down. You want to write down Joel 2, verse 20. You want to go to Acts, chapter 2, 1 through 3. Glory to God. And then you want to go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Hey, man, can God be the glory? Hey, man. There's a scripture from the prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2, he's talking to the people of God. And in verse 28, Joel says that in the last days, he said, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your son and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall be in dreams, and your young men shall see visions. He went on to talk about this move of God. It was a dispensation when the prophet Joel released this, glory to God. The Holy Spirit had not yet came in the earth. But he was sharing with the people of God that God had a desire for man to walk in the Spirit. Good God Almighty. God always had a desire for men to carry out the things of God here in the earth. Therefore, he says to the prophet Joel, in the last days, said the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit. Meaning that God would initiate the birthing or the arrival or the release of the Holy Spirit into the earth. Glory be to God. He said, glory to God, I will pour out my spirit. When I pour out my spirit into the earth, it's going to cause those that will receive it to prophesy. Good God Almighty. It will cause those who receive it to discern thoughts and the intents of the heart. It will cause those that receive it to dream dreams, to have visions, to be led and to minister for the Lord. Prophet Joel spoke that prophetic utterance. Not exactly sure how many of God, how many years passed through. But God was talking about the availability to carry him on the inside. He was talking about the availability to do great things through the Spirit. So when he said, I will pour out my spirit, he was talking about an availability to all mankind. Can I go a little time to take my time a little on the foundation? When God poured out his spirit, he didn't direct it. What do you mean, Bishop? Well, glory to God. When he blessed Abraham, glory to God. When he blessed Moses, when he blessed the children coming out of Egypt, it was a direct blessing for a particular person. But when the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, he was not saying that all flesh would receive the spirit. He wasn't talking about releasing his spirit on every human being walking in the earth. For we all know that everyone don't have the Holy Ghost. So even when the prophetic utterance came, he was not talking about a release over all humans. He was talking about the availability to receive from God. Even though he's poured it out without measure into the earth, he doused it He doused it. That's an old Southern word. Mama used to finish mopping the kitchen and had the bucket. She'll pour it out, douse it out. That's where I learned that word from. That's what God did with the Spirit. He knew that everyone wouldn't receive it, but the availability to receive it was inside of Acts 2:28. Now, here we go in Acts chapter 2, New Testament. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, even though it's not written in chronological order, the book of Acts will give you a foretelling of this event to come. Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, He said that you should not depart from Jerusalem. He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he. See, he was talking about what Joel prophesied. He said in Acts 1, wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith of he. He said, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit. Is what Joel said. Jesus said, depart not from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. He told in Matthew 16, it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I'm going to send the Comforter. He shall lead and guide you into all truth and in all righteousness. He was trying to let us know that the fulfilling of God pouring out his Spirit into the earth was before them. He told them to go wait for the promise of the Father. We know what happened. They were up in the upper room. They were in the upper room 120 days, if I recall correctly. Don't quote me, but I believe it was 120 days. And the Spirit of God lined up with the prophetic utterance. And Acts chapter 2 says the day of Pentecost has fully come. They were all gathered in one place with one accord. And there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Good God Almighty, that was the promise. Everyone in the upper room was filled. Matter of fact, praise God, I believe it was 120 people. See, I didn't learn. Sometimes you learn so much you forget. See, but it was 120 people. It was 10 days that they carried. Ah, glory to God. But when the Holy Ghost came, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. What are you saying tonight, Bishop? I'm saying do it to us one more time. Good God Almighty, can I take my time? This is what I said Saturday, how sometimes we get filled with the Holy Ghost on a certain event. Sometimes we're in a certain arena. Sometimes we're under a certain atmosphere. Good God Almighty, sometimes we carry it under specific words, and God will come in and give you a touch that you never had before. But how many people run for years from the same touch? How many people minister for God from the same touch? How many of us think that that one touch was all you needed? If you wanted them, you ought to say, do it to me one more time. Once is never enough. Can I teach? Let me teach this a little different. I tell you, you can preach the same thing over. You just got to follow the Holy Ghost. He'll teach you different. But watch this, people of God. When God poured it out, as he told Joel, that happened on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come. Know why? It was the availability to receive the Spirit. Anybody in the earth that was waiting for God to do it, who believed God, received it, But if you look in Acts chapter 2, after they received it, see, what? Once, listen, I'm going to take my time and make sure you catch what I'm saying now. Once they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind, that was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Do you understand me? Look, Joel prophesied it. Jesus bear witness that it was coming. He told them to wait for it. Once they heard the sound, that was the fulfillment of it. That means that was done. So now they're all filled in the upper room. Now they're being led by the Holy Ghost. Now watch Peter when he come outside. See? Watch now, because they're filled with the Holy Ghost now. Y'all know they did great things when they came out. But let's look at when Peter first came out. When they said that they was all drunk. Verse 14 said that Peter told them, it's not even 11 o'clock yet. It ain't the third hour. These men are not drunk as ye suppose. Yeah, we drunk. God Almighty, how many drunk people we got out there? But not as they suppose. You got to stay drunk. Not drunk with wine, but drunk in the spirit. He said, oh, we drunk, but we ain't drunk like you think. He said, this is that. Look at the scripture. Peter said, this is that. What was he talking about? The fulfillment of Joel 2:28. We ain't drunk. This is the fulfillment of that, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Good God Almighty, you got to know when God do something for you, people of God. You got to know when you're in line with God. You got to know, glory be to God, when you're attached to God. You got to recognize, good God Almighty, when God is using you, when you're in the flow of God. Know why you got to recognize so that you don't get out of it. Because if you get out of it, you just got to tell him, do it to me one more time. Good God Almighty, if he did it once, he can do it again. Good God Almighty. Joel came out and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, pay close attention to the quotation. There's no mistakes in the Bible. Watch what Peter quoted. Keep Joel 2:28 open and turn over to Acts. And then look at the two together. Ain't no mistake. Peter. Watch. In verse 16. He said, this is what was said from the prophet Joel. Watch when he gets to verse 17. Look at Joel's words and look at Peter's words. Ain't no mistakes in the word of God. And that's why you better watch these translations, people of God. King James Version is the closest you're going to get. Hallelujah. It was authorized and touched by the Holy Ghost. And the enemy know it. That's why you got so many other translations. Make you think you know just as much as somebody who dug all in the Word. Because somebody broke it down for you. You went around with watered-down revelation. Get that King James Version Bible. Get into it. It's a lot of revelation in it. Don't let that devil, he's trying to make the King James Version Bibles unattainable, where you can't get none no more. You better grab it while you can, people of God, and put it inside you. If you look at Joel 2:28, you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17, you're going to see one word different, and it's not a mistake. When Peter quoted Joel, he said, but this is what was quoted by Joel. He said, in the last day, said God, watch what Peter said, that I will pour out of my spirit. Joel said, God said, I will pour out my spirit. Peter said, God said, I will pour out of. You know what's the difference? The difference is, do it to me. One more time. Once is never enough. availability. And when you else said, God said, I'm going to pour it out. He used that word my mom used to do. I'm going to douse this water back here. He just poured it over the whole earth. And it was available for everybody. That's when it first came. He just doused it upon mankind. After he fulfilled it, now he's not just dousing his spirit all over the place. God Almighty, he's not pouring new wine in old bottles. Y'all ain't talking tonight. Guess what? He's not just throwing his spirit to people who's going to waste it, can't carry it, don't appreciate it. Y'all ain't talking tonight. He said, I'm going to pour out of, meaning like a water pot. And you can be right in church, and God will touch the person next to you, skip right over you, touch the next one, skip over the next one, and touch another one. Y'all ain't talking tonight. He's not pouring out his spirit. Now he's pouring out of. Oh, y'all, somebody going to catch that. And you're going to be one of the ones that he poured on. If you have a desire for him to do it to you. One more time. Because once is never enough. See, those who thought that one touch was enough is the ones he's skipping right over. See, he already poured out his spirit. Now he's pouring out of. Y'all ain't talking to me. Let me move on and teach. Go with me over to Malachi chapter 3. I know everybody's talking about tithes when they go to Malachi chapter 3. That's the whole teaching in itself. We ain't touching tithes right now tonight. We're talking about the refiner. How about seeing? We're talking about the messengers that come to refine us, that come to make us crave for more, that come to give us unquenchable fire. If you don't feel the fire burning, you ought to say, do it to me one more time. What do you need him to do? Touch me once again. Somebody used to say, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Good God Almighty. Sometimes we got to go back to where you first saw the light, where the bodies of your heart was rolled away. See, it was there. Oh, you need to tell yourself, it was there by faith that I received my sight. Some of us, I use this quotation Saturday, have dropped the axe handle. Y'all know the story. The man of God was doing the work. Some of us is yet working in the ministry, yet working on the choir. You're doing the work, but you lost the axe head. They were cutting down timber. Do you know you can't cut down a tree without an axe head on your handle? The axe head is the Holy Ghost. The axe head is the Spirit of God. The axe head is not us. And use it how we will. Y'all ain't talking to me today. But the man of God ran to the prophet. He said, I was working, and the axe head fell into the water. Let me tell you, people of God, it's very possible right while you're working. Hallelujah. Right while you believe in us. Right while you praying. Y'all ain't talking to me. Right while you dancing. Right while you shouting. Right while you praising. You can look up and discover the axe head is gone. This is the Bible. Samson shook himself. The Bible declares that he wot not that the Spirit of God had departed, still shaking at off times. But the Spirit was gone. Still shouting, but the axe head is gone. Still singing, still preaching without the axe head. He went back to the prophet. He said, it was borrowed. Hallelujah. Thank God he knew that he couldn't replace it. How many of us is trying to replace your axe head? How many of us is trying to shake, 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 till you shake some stuff back? telling you, shake, stop the devil, kick, run. No, go back to God and say, do it to me one more time. Hallelujah. Once is never enough but a God like him. Good God Almighty, somebody. No, I ain't singing tonight. I'm telling you, glory be to God. You got to go back to the altar. Get that thing right. He went to the man of God. He said it was borrowed. He said, I didn't have it. It don't belong to me. It was given to me to do the work. And I lost it. Man of God went, said, show me where you dropped it. Sometimes people, God, you got to think about where you dropped it at. Where did you lose it at? When did you lose it? When did you stop feeling it? When did you stop desiring it? Glory to God. You got to go back where you dropped it. You got to return to your first love. The man of God, he threw prayer into the water. He threw a branch into the water. You know, that represents reconnection. He is the vine, we are the branches. The man of God took a branch and cast it into the water. He reconnected him back to God. Some of us got to get reconnected to what God called you to be. You got to get reconnected to the desire that you had. You got to get reconnected to the praise down on the inside. You got to get reconnected to your prayer life. Say, do it to me one more time. Glory to God. He reconnected him. And the axe head floated. People of God, I'm telling you, you can reconnect tonight. You can get back to your fire on fire again. Hallelujah. You can get your earnesty back. But you got to ask God to do it one more time. I promised to go into the book of Malachi, the third chapter. It talks about the Lord returning. Verse 2 says, who can endure? Or who will appreciate? Who will survive? Who will be in a place when the Lord returns? Malachi 3:2 says, but who can abide his coming? Who can endure it? Who can stand it? For when he appear, when he appear, watch this, people of God, I pray for my folks. He is like a refiner's fire, meaning that the day of the Lord will be so intense. They use the terminology or the analogy of fire. See, fire purifies. See, once we've been tried in the fire, we come out as gold. Because that's what brings out the best. The best gold, excuse me, the best gold becomes the best because it's been in the fire longer. It's been purified. All of the impurities have burnt off. So God is so holy, he's saying, when I return, ain't nothing that's not like me or nothing that's not of me will withstand my presence. What are you saying, Bishop? People of God, I'm telling you tonight, he can prepare you for his return. There's a lot of stuff has to be refined. A lot of stuff in me and you and everybody. Listen, we got to get it burnt off of us. Because you don't want to not be able to stand in his presence. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. So you must depart from iniquity. Depart from fleshly lust that war against the soul. You must lay down our life and take up the life of Christ so they can prepare our hearts, my mind, our souls, our spirit, that we can enter into the presence of God when he comes. Amen. Trust that you said amen. The Bible says in verse 3 that he's going to sit as a refiner of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi. And refine them as gold is tried in the fire. Can I ask you tonight, when he says sons, he's talking to the women too. He's talking to the women too. Are you ready to become a son? More of a son? Let me reframe that. Are you ready to recognize that you are a son of the Most High God? You're more than just a fighter. You're more than just a victor. You are more than a conqueror to them that love you. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. You can do exactly what God prepared you to do in life. You can arrive exactly where God expected for your destiny to take you. You can get weary along the way. But the Bible says, be not weary in your well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. People of God, it's time to get your second wind. It's time to say, do it to me one more time. Because once should never be enough. Paul asked the people in Athens, I believe it was, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They had a prescription to the unknown God. Do you know all that God can do when you get filled? Do you know the miracles that will occur when we get filled? Peter came out of the room. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days, said of God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. See, look, God Almighty, you have to be one of the ones that's standing under the fresh touch. You need glory to God. We need a fresh touch. Do you know, glory be to God, that the enemy cannot block the anointing of God from coming upon you? But after it's on you, this revelation now, catch it. When God sent the anointing, he can't block it from resting on you or in you. Because the anointing is the ability and the strength to carry out a work. God don't give you the anointing just to dance. You don't have to be anointed to raise your hand. But God sends the anointing for purpose. Whatever purpose is needed, the strength of that anointing will cover it. And Satan can't stop that anointing from coming upon you. Catch the revelation. But after it's on you, see, after it's in you, then he can tamper with it. He can't affect it. Know why? Because he comes through the door of flesh. Y'all missed it. Somebody missed it. Somebody got it. Somebody missed it. Pray God that you're one of them. He can't stop it from getting to you. But once it gets to you, he can interfere with it. Because he enters in through the flesh. He enters in through the mind. And that's how he interferes with your communicating, your understanding, your feeling, the Holy Spirit. Well, Bishop Ho, why would God let him do that? What, get in your mind? Listen, people of God, I'm just following the Holy Ghost tonight right here. Do you know God won't block him out your mind? It's unlawful. Somebody don't know this yet. So those of you that know it, please have patience with me, because everybody don't know this. God cannot block Satan from coming in your mind. It would be unlawful. If God controlled your mind, then he would have robots serving him and not servants. Hallelujah. If God controlled our mind, then it wouldn't be willful worship. It'd be controlled worship. That's not the character of God to block your mind. That's the character of Satan to control your mind. Holy Spirit don't control your mind. That's why he says, let this mind. See? Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. See? You have to let it. It don't overtake you. The Holy Spirit don't just grab your mind and make it think right. Hallelujah. You have to let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of flesh, Thomas felt not robbery to be equal, who being in the form of God, counted it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. He took that on. He chose it to be fashioned as a man. Being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He went unto death, the death of the cross. And because he did that, he got rewarded. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, it comes from humility, it comes from humbling yourself and taking on a mindset. Take to it. One more time, God. Some of us used to have the mind of Christ. Now we let everything go through our mind. Anything go through our mind. We don't filter nothing. But we must control the mind. Yes, we walk in the flesh. We don't war after it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to pull down strongholds, cast down the mind, the imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself in your mind against the knowledge of God. Bring it back into subjection. Every thought, they're talking about control, mind control. Mind control tonight. Do you have mind control or something controlling your mind? You better mind your wants. Let your mind run wild. You better mind what you want. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. Mind your wants. Because it's something that wants your mind. If you don't mind your wants, it's something that wants your mind. And people of God, if you can say in your mind, you'll be surprised where you may, what you might do, where you may go. So be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that ye may be able to prove. That means bear witness. That which is good, perfect, acceptable. You can't do it with your mind all over the place. Oh, it be to God. Hallelujah. So God gives us the ability to have thought, to have creation. There was a time when only the thoughts of men's mind was evil. And it repented God that he made man. But he understands. Do you understand tonight, saints of God? Do you know you have to ask God constantly, do it again, Lord? Do you know yesterday's anointing is not good enough? Yesterday's prayer life is not good enough? Yesterday's revelation is not good enough? Once it hits you, it's susceptible to being tainted. Once it's inside of us, it can have infirmity. So you got to tell God, keep it coming, Lord. Keep it coming. Don't stop. Do it to me one more time. Yes, God, you spoke to me yesterday, but speak tomorrow. Y'all ain't talking back tonight. Good God Almighty, yes, I felt your presence 10 minutes ago, but I want to feel it 10 minutes later. Hallelujah to God. It's in him, in him, in him. Thank God, catch the revelation. It's in him. In him that we live, move, and have our being. That means every second of the day, you got to be in God. And God has to be in you. If not, you're living on a stale, so to say, anointed. Even though God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it's all good. But how many people would rather have a fresh loaf of bread than when you bought 4 days ago? To God be the glory. How many people want a fresher touch? I thank you today, my God. I thank you tonight. God wants to give it to you tonight. One thing about God, he told us, when we come to him, that he would take us and translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. See, when you come to God, think to God, I'm going to be talking to a babe in Christ on the mind tonight. So I want you to understand this. This is some sincere milk that will help you grow thereby. When you come to God, child of Christ, babe in Christ, God does two things. Don't expect a bunch of miracles. That God does two things when you first come. He takes your soul that was in darkness, and he translates it into the kingdom of his dear son. The next thing he do, he renews your spirit. He wakes it up. Like a baby gets slapped at birth. He quickens your spirit and wakes you up. That's what God does. Can I tell you when he translated you from the kingdom of the darkness into the kingdom of his dear son? That's simultaneously with the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's not talking about your life change in a heartbeat. He's talking about your condition and your position change. You may not feel nothing, but you need to know that you're no longer a child of the devil. You're a child of the king. Old things are passed away. That's what he's talking about. When we pick, because church folks can pick and teach you this scripture whole backwards. Oh, well, you say now old things are passed away, like everything just jump out your life. No, that ain't what he's talking about. That passed away. He's talking about your Lord. What was over your life, it's passed away. Behold, all things become new. What? New kingdom, new position, new condition. And those things are of God who reconciled them unto himself. See? He reconciled us unto himself, not imputing your trespasses. Don't let nobody condemn you. You can just not say you grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. But that's the two things that God does. He told us to do two more things because he do not touch the other two. Man is body, soul is spirit. We're spirit, we got a soul, we live in a body. We have a mind. God takes care of your soul. He translated all souls of mine, said the Lord. He wakes up your spirit. His job is done. You may not be taught this in your churches. A lot of times we don't like to teach, but I'm teaching you tonight. You listen slow and close. Don't you expect God to take stuff away from, oh, here, take the taste. He sure will. But that ain't what he does when you come to him. He might. That might all be in the translation. But you only expect him to do those two things right there. Translate your soul and renew your spirit. Now, the next two things you got to do. Present your body, Romans 12:1, as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The other second thing you got to do is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. nobody ever told you. Maybe that's why you're struggling tonight. Because nobody told you that that's your job, to get your body, your flesh submitted. Get your mind with the mind of Christ. Then you can prove that which is good, perfect, and acceptable. Some people are trying to do it with the wrong mind, with the wrong, with your flesh out of control. You ain't for God to make you think right. You ain't for God to take away the taste. You ain't for God to make you not have a desire. Let me tell you something, people of God, that's your job. Stop telling God to do what he told you to do. You do it. Walk in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. We love you tonight. Praise God. Thank you for being whooping on you tonight. You give me information. Just tell him, do it to me one more time. You have to tell God once is never enough. So my God, like you. Amen. I tell you, he'll do it. He's willing. He's able. The Bible says, now unto him that is able. Oh, ain't no problem. God, God's able. He can do it. Now unto him that is able to do. He's able to do. What is to do what? Exceedingly. You know what exceedingly means? Access. I'm probably not pronouncing that great, but exceedingly means above measure. Exceedingly means more than enough. Exceedingly means above, abundantly. Another terminology for all that you can need and more. Exceedingly and abundantly above what? All that you can ask or even think. You see? Tell him, do it one more time, God. He'll do it. He didn't even receive any money for all that you have to think. But it's according to something. Ain't no problem with God. Problem with us. It's according. See? According to the power that worketh. He can do it, but it's according to the power that worketh. Well, what is the power working at? In you. In you. God, do it one more time. Touch me again so I can have the power to control my mind. How about she come out of my side? So I can have the power to yield my flesh. It's according to the power that worketh in you. The power is faith, people of God. Without faith, it's impossible to connect to him. I know that's pleasing. I'm telling you what pleased me. God ain't trying to get you to make him happy. God ain't trying to get you to make him laugh. That ain't what they mean by please him. God is satisfied. You can best believe that. So when it says it's impossible to please him, they're not talking about satisfying God. God is already satisfied. Without faith, it's impossible to come in union. It's what to please me. To come in agreement with. Without faith, it's impossible to come in agreement with him. That's what the pleasing is. You ain't pleasing God for having faith. Come on, people of God. You have to ask God to show you what the Holy Spirit is saying, not what man is speaking. He says, it's impossible to come in union, oneness with me. For he that cometh unto me must first believe that I am. And what? Able, whatever you want, whatever you need, he, whatever you're coming for, whatever you see him as, he is. And that he's a rewarder. I'm closing tonight. Just follow the Holy Ghost. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can I tell you that God is not standing there with a spiritual blessing bone, holding it up to you like you Fido, saying jump, jump, Fido, jump. God ain't standing there with your blessings. I'm going to roll over, play dead, and I'm going to bless you. He that cometh unto God, he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is not saying he's paying you for coming, not rewarding you for searching. That is not what that scripture means. God is not giving you people of God. What he's saying is, he has a reward of them that diligently seek him. The common denominator there, or the main factor, is diligently seeking. The reward is in your diligence. The reward is in your seeking. It's not a payment for it. It's in you doing it. If you do it, you're going to run all into blessing. You're going to run all into God. God's going to be all over you, around you, in you. That's the blessing. Not paying you for coming. So we thank you today. Hope that's enough for you to throw a 1-2 punch on the devil. It's undisputed truth, but we want to continue to be in your corner. Hallelujah. Help you fight. Hallelujah. Shanda. Because if it's in the word, it's undisputed. And I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, 1921 Darby Town Road, the city of Richmond, on the Henrico border. Hope to see you. If not, come back. Stay here on Blog Talk. We got some good messages throughout the week. Come on and fellowship with us. We love you. God bless you. In Jesus' name.